This morning I'm going to conclude this series of messages that we've been preaching titled A Theological Evaluation. Remember, we spent some time talking about the grace of God and how wonderful God's grace is toward us. And we looked at that grace in depth and according to the scriptures and how it speaks to us in terms of God's goodness and also in terms of God's salvation toward us. Our last time together, we talked about the faith of humanity, how faith and grace come together in a wonderful connection that results in salvation. Without that connection, salvation does not happen. Remember, we talked about how it is impossible to save yourself, how it is impossible to make yourself good enough for God, how it is impossible to make yourself presentable to God. But in spite of all that, God loves us right where we are. He loves us so much that he wants to meet us right where we are and then change us, move us from spiritual darkness into spiritual light. I'm going to conclude once again by looking at the scriptures as it speaks to the faith of man. And I'm going to talk briefly about four things. We're going to talk about God's provision, God's payment, God's prevention, and God's promise. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Romans chapter 3, and I will read for your hearing verses 25 through 28. Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 25. There the Bible reads, "Whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of one who has faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law." You may be seated. A theological evaluation. Looking again, once again, how it is important that the faith of man be connected to the grace of God, and that results in something so wonderful, so awesome in our lives, and for many, something that has never happened in our lives yet. It's a dangerous thing to assume something that is not true. It's a spiritually dangerous thing to assume that you have this wonderful, awesome relationship with God that, according to the scriptures, does not exist. It's dangerous to assume that eternity is yours, heaven is yours, and when really it's not even within your grasp. It's dangerous to assume that because God loves you, you love him. You and I both know the Bible says that there is none good, no, not one. We don't really love God, and if we do love God, it's only because we have responded to his love toward us. Remember, the scriptures declare, listen, while we were yet sinners, the Bible says Christ died for the ungodly. Christ didn't die for the ungodly after we got saved. Christ died for the ungodly while we were still in our sins. That's how much he loves us. I reminded us on another occasion, listen, there is not one thing, hear me, there is not one thing that you and I can do to make God love us more. Nothing we can do to make God love us more, because God's love is constant. God's love is pure. God's love is holy. Not only can we not do one thing to make God love us more, there's nothing we can do to make God love us less, because again, his love is constant. So you might say, well, if I'm a sinner and I'm outside the grace of God, does God love me? Of course he does. Then what do I need to do? You need to connect faith in God in the person of Jesus Christ with the grace of God in terms of his provision, that he might wonderfully come into your heart and move you from spiritual darkness into spiritual light. that he might wonderfully forgive you of your sin, and that he might wonderfully create in you a person that is never, ever possible outside of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Folks, listen to me. The death of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ are not just holiday celebrations. The death of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ are monumental, monumental biblical things that God has provided for every person that they might have salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. Remember, I hammer this truth home because so often it's misunderstood, and that is this. Listen, coming to church will not save you. Singing in the choir will not save you. Working in the church will not save you. Being nice, being benevolent, being kind, being wonderful, being generous will not save you. Education will not save you. Reputation in the community will not save you. Outstanding positions in the community will not save you. The only thing that saves us is Jesus Christ. There must be personal faith, personal confidence placed in God's provision of Jesus Christ. Now let's take a look at it, not from what I say, but from what the Bible says. I hope you have your Bibles. I want you to think, first of all, what I call God's provision. The Bible says in verse 25 of that verse that we just read, it says, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. Now the word propitiation there simply means a sacrifice. It means a covering. It means a satisfaction that God has made available to the believer. It means an appeasement for sin. It means that God takes the faith of the believer and he provides a covering for that sin that is only possible through his Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, God satisfies his holiness by providing the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Listen, some people seem to think that, look here, I don't believe God can save me. Listen, you don't seem to understand. My life is a mess. My past is a mess. My present is a mess. And my future is not looking very good. You don't understand what I've done. You don't understand how I think. You don't understand how I've been treated. You don't understand the home I was raised up in. You don't understand the community I grew up in. You don't understand the mean, vile things that I've done, the mean, vile things that I think about doing. You know nothing about me. Well, my friend, I agree with you. I don't know that, but I know one who does. His name is Jesus. He knows everything that there is to know about us. And watch this. In spite of our shortcomings, in spite of our failures, in spite of our sin, in spite of our missing the mark, He has provided a covering for our sin. That's what propitiation is all about. He has made a sacrifice, listen, that will satisfy himself. What you have to do is put your faith and your confidence in the provision that he has provided for us. And it's not the church. It's not all those things that I listed earlier. It's his Son, Jesus Christ. Christ spilled enough blood on the cross to cover the sins of anyone. And you might say, I don't believe God loves me that much. Well, because you don't believe it doesn't mean that it's not true. God loves you more than you could ever think he loves you. God can do some wonderful things in your life. God can take your past and make it brand new if you would put your faith in his provision. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, and he himself, being Jesus, is the propitiation for our sin. Watch this. Not only for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. In other words, as I said earlier, Christ spilled enough blood for the sins of the whole world. But listen, you don't get saved by osmosis. You don't get saved because your parents were saved. You don't go to heaven because your friends are going to heaven. You don't go to heaven because you go to church or because you know the Bible or because you know a few scriptures or because you know a few principles. Listen, eternal life is encapsulated in what the Lord Jesus Christ did on that cross. He is the propitiation. He is the sacrifice. He is the provision and the only provision whereby our sins might be forgiven. And for those of the whole world, not that the whole world says, well, the Bible says he shed his blood for my sins, so that means I'm okay. No, you must have a personal relationship. You must personally go to God yourself. You must ask for forgiveness yourself. You must invite Christ into your heart for yourself. No one can do that for you. No matter how saved your household is, no matter how much grandma and grandpa pray, no matter how wonderful mom and dad is, you must know Jesus Christ for yourself. Somebody say amen. Amen. The Bible says in 1 John 4 and 10, it says, in this is love. I like this. Now watch this. This is powerful. The Bible says, in this is love, not that we love God. Did you see that? Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son, there's that word again, to be the propitiation for our sin. In other words, we didn't love God. God loved us. And when we say that we love God, what we're really saying is I understood now God's love for me, and I responded to that love. And in responding to that love, we understand and magnify who God is in all of our lives. For all of us who are saved, and for all of us who believe to be saved, we must meet God on his terms, and his terms is faith in Jesus Christ, and faith alone. Through faith in his blood, not through faith in teaching, not through faith in miracles, but faith in his blood, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Those are the means whereby we are saved. Mankind is either too busy trying to make him or herself saved, or trying to save ourselves. You ever try to fix yourself? You ever try to do that? You try to fix yourself, and as soon as you fix yourself, something else tears up. You know, it's kind of like that game, you know, where you hit these things that pop up, and as soon as you get this one knocked down, this one pops up. You reach over here and you knock that down, and this one pops up. That's what happens when you try to fix yourself. You it's one step forward, three steps backwards. You take care of this thing in your life, and this right here pops up. And as soon as you take care of that which you thought you had already taken care of pops back up again. In other words, it never went away. God doesn't do that. When God saves, he saves completely. When God fixes, God fixes completely. It does not mean that the Christian does not have difficulty. It does not mean that the Christian doesn't have hard times, difficult times, stressful times. It doesn't mean that. What it means, though, is now that we are saved in the Lord Jesus Christ, our confidence is no longer in ourselves. Our confidence is in God. And as the children of God, we call on God, and he truly hears our prayers. In Christ, death demands that the demands of death are fully met. Everything that God required of us, he laid it to the charge of Jesus Christ. So that when we put our faith in him, it's no longer about us, but it's about what Christ has done for us. So propitiation means that Christ, listen, became sin for me, sin for you, sin for us, so that by faith in him, he becomes righteousness for us. In other words, watch this. The sinner that I was, listen, if I'm a murderer, if I'm a thief, if I'm a child molester, if I'm a rapist, if I'm a robber, if I'm a liar, if I'm an embezzler, whatever that is, listen, watch this. God, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, when we ask Christ to forgive us of our sin, God takes all of that. Watch this. Are you ready? God takes all of that and he puts it on Jesus Christ. He takes all that we were and he puts it on his son, Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ becomes the propitiation for our sin. So now, when those issues come up, and they will, you know how people are. They say, oh, yeah, I remember when you, yeah, but Christ. And yeah, I remember, yeah, but Christ. And man, I remember when we, but Christ. Christ bore our sins on that tree. The Bible says that he became sin for us, through faith, that we might become the righteousness of God. I don't know about you, but I'm reminded of the song, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to cling to God in prayer. He's an awesome God, and God has made an awesome provision. Now, the second thing I want you to think about is not only God's provision, but think about God's payment. Look at verse 25, the latter part of verse 25. Again, the Bible says, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over sins previously committed. You see, when you go before God in the person of Jesus Christ, and listen, and you ask Christ to forgive you your sins, listen, he doesn't forgive you of some of your sins. He forgives you of all of your sin. All your past, all your misery, all your shortcomings, all the things that you have done that God was never pleased with, in Christ, they are forgiven. You say, well, I don't know about that, because everywhere I go, I have reminders of sin. Well, they'll be there. Remember, there's always be people say, yeah, but I remember when you used to do this, and I remember when you were that person, and I remember when you said this. That's them talking. That's not God talking. When you look at your Bible, the Bible says that when you are forgiven completely in the Lord Jesus Christ. God did not pour out all of his wrath on men for their sins. He poured out all of his wrath on Christ so that we might be forgiven for our sins. You see, Christ couldn't go to the cross and just suffer. Christ couldn't go to the cross and just hang and then come back down. Christ had to go to the cross and suffer, bleed, and die and be resurrected so that we might have the forgiveness of our sin. The full weight of his wrath was exacted against Christ on our behalf. Can you imagine someone doing that for you? Can you imagine that? That's what God did for us in the terms of Jesus Christ. And this payment, God's payment, is relative to his purpose, and his purpose is to save us from our sin. Verse 26 says, for the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be the justifier. He would be the justifier of one who has faith in Jesus Christ. Now watch this. God is doing two things here. The Bible says that he would be just. Now you say, well, now wait a minute. I thought God was perfect. I thought God was holy. And I thought that anything sinful, God turns his back on. You are exactly right. He's just in doing that. Well, how does God take a vile sinner like me and take all my sin and take all my shortcomings, and how does he make that right? I'm glad you asked. He does it in the person of Jesus Christ. You see, he's just in that he will never violate his holiness. He's just in that he will never tolerate sin. He's just in that his holiness will never be compromised. But the Bible also says, put that back up there, not only is he just, the Bible says he is the justifier. But the justifier of who? The Bible says he is the justifier of the one who has faith in who? In a church? No. In themselves? No. In goodness? No. In a program? No. In a building? No. In a Bible? No. In teaching? No. In a personality? No. The Bible says that he is the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are justified not in ourselves. We are justified in Christ, who bore our sins on the cross on our behalf. Therefore, God satisfies his justice in that he does not permit sin, but he justifies the sinner, because the sinner now is no longer in themselves. The sinner is in Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. At no time does God compromise his holiness. He requires perfection, therefore he provides perfection, and that perfection comes to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Here's a scripture you might want to underline in your Bibles. Watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. He made him who knew no sin. The one who knew no sin was Jesus. God made him who knew no sin to be what? Sin on our behalf. Now remember, he knew no sin, but he became sin on our behalf by dying on the cross for our sin. Watch this. So that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's the crossroads. That's where faith and that's where the grace of God intersect. We understand the grace of God comes to us in the person of Jesus Christ, and then our purpose or our role is to put our faith in what God has provided, to accept the payment for our sin which comes to us in the person of Jesus Christ. The law, remember we talked about that. The law does not declare us just. The law only points out our sin. You know, there are some people that do this. You know, they say, you know what? I've been reading my Bible, and this is what I'm going to do. You know, I read in the Bible where I shouldn't do this. You know, and I'm working on that. And the Bible says, and I shouldn't do that, and I'm working on that. And I read something else in the Bible where I shouldn't be doing. And then we come to an amazing conclusion. Who could do all of that? Who could do all that on a consistent basis? Who could please God in every way and in every situation and in every circumstance? There's not but one, and his name is Jesus. Remember, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, that's not a license for us to sin. That is a license for us to live like we've never lived before. And that is knowing that our sin is forgiven, knowing that Christ has covered everything, knowing that Christ has met every requirement of God on our behalf. Who would not want to serve a God like that? Who provides for our every need? Humanity cannot declare itself righteousness because we cannot live a sin-free life. Only a crucified Christ can satisfy the penalty. Only a crucified Christ can satisfy the payment that is required. Therefore, all of us who put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have satisfied God's holiness. Listen, not in ourselves, but in Him who died for us. Now watch this. Whatever the law required, paid. Whatever perfection required, paid. Whatever cleansing required, paid. Whatever duty required, paid. Whatever holiness required, paid. Whatever purity required, paid. Whatever sacrifice was necessary, paid. Whatever debt was required, paid. Not only paid, but paid in full. Remember I said, you run into some people sometimes, they say, you know, I was saved once. No, you're either saved or you're lost. Some people say, you know, I got saved a couple of times. No, if you got saved a couple of times, you never got saved. And here's the reason why. Is because people who make those kind of statements have either erroneously or never read their Bible. There's not but one time to get saved, and that is to invite Jesus Christ in your heart fully, 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 fully sincere, fully humble, fully understanding that Christ is the remedy for my sin. That only happens once, and thereafter you have new life in Christ Jesus. I was at a restaurant one time with my wife, and we were enjoying one another's company, and it was kind of like a date, you know. I don't know about you. I've been married 42 years, and I still date my wife. And usually when we go to dinner, it's her responsibility to pay. You can laugh now, okay? You know I'm being facetious here, okay? But watch this. And I was at the restaurant, and we enjoyed the meal. It was a sumptuous meal. It was a wonderful meal. And we enjoyed one another's company. And then when the meal was over with, I kept noticing that I never got my tab. I never got, you know, the ticket that they give you. You can't just get up and leave. You know, you have to settle the tab. And I kept waiting and kept waiting. And finally, I asked the waitress about my tab. And she says, don't worry about your tab. And I said, what do you mean don't worry about the tab? She said, someone paid for your meal. And I said, well, who was it? And they said, that someone chose to remain anonymous. And I said, oh, my goodness, let's order some more. And so what the waitress, I thought she was kidding me at first. And she says, no, someone else has paid your tab and you're free to go. And I said, oh my goodness. Now watch this. Can you imagine me trying to pay that tab that's already been paid? Can you imagine me trying to pay for something that's already been paid for? Can you imagine me trying to do something that's already been done? All I'm doing is undoing it, okay? The person who did it anonymously. The person who did it out of love. The person who did it, I don't even know who it was to this day. All I know is it was done. And the reason why I know it was done is because the owner of the business, the proprietor of the business, the one who is responsible for taking up the tabs relative to the charges, said, you're free to go. Because the payment has been made, okay? Let's up the argument. Can you imagine Jesus Christ has paid for your sin? Can you imagine Jesus Christ has paid the tab? Can you imagine paid in full? God has satisfied the requirement. God has done it on your behalf. Jesus Christ has took care of the sin issue on your behalf. And yet you're standing before God saying, well, you know, God, I'm still good. And you know, God, I'm still wonderful. And you know, God, I'm not as bad as this person. And you know, God, my sin was, let me give you something, God, to add to it. Let me help you out with it. No, it's paid for in full. The only thing that God wants is commitment on your heart to understand that God's payment is is full and it is final on his behalf. And the only thing you can do is like me and my wife did when I left out of that restaurant. I said, thank you, whoever you are, thank you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for taking care of me. You didn't have to do it, but you did it anyhow. Well, let's up the argument. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin. Thank you. Jesus Christ forgave us of our sin. Thank you. Jesus Christ only requires faith in him and him alone. Thank you. But before you can say thank you, you've got to invite him into your heart so that you might experience the freedom. God is a good God. He's awesome. He's awesome. He's worthy of our praise. God's provision, God's payment. Thirdly, God's prevention. Watch what he puts in place. God has some preventative things in here that helps us from cheating ourselves. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 27, it says, it asks a question. It says, where then is boasting? And then it says, it's excluded. By what kind of law of works? No, but by a law of faith. In other words, see, when you get saved, there is no way you can brag and boast about anything. Remember, grace is unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor from God. When God saves us, we can't add to it and we can't take away from it. The only thing we can do is say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy and thank you for your kindness. The Bible says, where is the boasting? If we're going to boast on anything, we need to be boasting on Jesus Christ. If we're going to brag on anything, we ought to be bragging on the goodness of God. Because I am what I am and you are what you are by the grace of God. God has been wonderful to us. God has been awesome to us. Boasting should never come to mind when it comes to salvation in Jesus Christ. All personal pride put aside. All personal pride put in order so that God might get the glory out of our lives. We are never to act as though we accomplished our salvation. I've said it before. Some people say, well, you know, I came to Jesus just like I was. No, you did not. You responded to Jesus after he came to you. He reminded you of his love. He reminded you of his forgiveness. He reminded you of his provision. He reminded you of his payment. He reminded you of the penalty for sin. And you flung yourself in reckless abandonment saying, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And the Bible says, not only did he forgive us of our sin, but he came wonderfully into our hearts. Just as we did not make ourselves, we cannot save ourselves. Only God can save us. The Bible goes on to say in verse 28, for we maintain, listen, that a man is justified apart from the works of the law. That means we're justified by faith. In who? Jesus Christ. There's nothing we can do to justify ourselves. There's nothing we can do to stand before God and say, God, this is the reason why I have eternal life. God, this is the reason why you should let me in heaven, because I've done this, I've done this. And God says, no, to the left, no, to the left, no, to the left. And you're still trying to convince God that the reason why he saves you or the reason why he can save you is because something you're doing. And God finally says, you're holding up the line, to the left, next. The reason being is you and I can never satisfy God on our own. We need something greater than ourselves. We need Jesus Christ. God's provision, God's payment, God's prevention, no boasting. Finally, God's promise. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, here it is. Therefore, having been justified by faith, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you catch that? See, when you are justified from God's perspective, the Bible says you have peace. Anybody ever have a long night's sleep? Anybody having some long night's sleep? There was an entertainer about 10 years ago, and you know who I'm talking about. I won't even mention his name. And you know what he wanted out of life? The main thing he wanted out of life was a good night's sleep. That's all he wanted. If I could just get some sleep, If I could just lay down one night and get some rest, I could do one more concert. I could do one more show. I could do one more performance. And he couldn't do it, so he tried to help himself. And in doing so, he destroyed himself. The Bible says that having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Having been declared righteousness, believers no longer fear the wrath of God, no longer fear the things that God is bringing upon this world, no longer fearing who God is, but more so revering him, understanding that he is God and he's God all by himself. We fear God in the righteous sense of the word, not in the sense of the word that God is going to punish us and God is going to destroy us. Why? Because when we are justified through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says we have peace with God. Some people got so much guilt in their life, they got crooks in their neck because they're constantly looking over their shoulder at their guilt and their shame, and it's catching up with them. I want you to know that God, in the person of Jesus Christ, removes the guilt, removes the stain, removes the sin, removes the past, and gives us peace like we've never had before. You want a good night's sleep? Surrender your heart to Jesus Christ. You want some peace in your life about all the havoc and all the hell that's breaking out in your life? Give your heart to Jesus Christ. You want some real rest? Surrender your heart to Jesus Christ. Remember, prior to being saved, we were enemies of God. Prior to being saved, our standing could not be improved without Jesus Christ. But because of Jesus Christ, we have peace in our hearts about things. You ever talk to a person that's saved? Watch this. Sometimes you talk to a person that's been saved, and you start, and maybe you know that person, and you start reminding that person about the life they used to live or the way they used to act and the things they used to do, and you'll find that person just kind of chuckle. That person kind of looks at you and says, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but guess what? That's not me anymore. And you find it unbelievable. You think that person might be playing a game with you. You think that person might be putting on a facade. No, that person, listen, that person has the peace of God that passes all understanding. And if you're not careful, you cannot understand that person. That person says, oh, yeah, I remember what I used to do. I remember I did this, and I remember I did all those things. But guess what? God has forgiven me of all that in the person of Jesus Christ. That person has got real peace that the Bible promises all who surrender their heart to them. Some people come to church and they feel guilty. Watch this. You got people in the church, watch this, who profess to be saved. Watch this. They profess to be saved, and when the invitation is given, they can't wait till it's over with. They profess to be saved, but they can't wait until it's over. You know why? Because they have no peace in their life. They have no joy in their life. They have no forgiveness in their life. Their salvation is based on everything except the Lord Jesus Christ. But they've convinced themselves that they're saved when in reality they're lost. And when preaching like this comes, they say, I'll be glad when he gets through because I don't want to hear no more of that. My friend, if God has forgiven you of your sin, you love preaching like this. You know why? Because it was you, it was me, it was us that Christ died for. It was you, it was me, it was us that made mistakes. It was us that failed. It was us that missed the mark. But thank God for Jesus Christ and what he did for us. It was us sitting at the table. It was someone else that paid the tab. It was us that said thank you. It was us that could not add to it, could not take away from it. God has wonderfully saved us, and we love preaching like this because we know that without the gospel of Jesus Christ, men will never, ever be saved. Never. And you and I know what God has done for us. And people may not believe it, people may not buy into it, but you, listen, you gotta know that you know that you know. Come death, come hell, come high water, you gotta know that if you died right now, you'd wake up in the arms of Jesus Christ. You don't guess about it, you don't hope about it, you know that you know that you know, because the Bible says that everyone that God saves, he indwells and he makes his presence known to them. That's not hocus pocus. That's not magic. That's not some magical mystery tour. That's the Bible. The Bible says God indwells every believer and gives us that peace that we could never ever have outside of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Faith in Christ leads to peace with God. Come here, somebody. Remember the great weight that was lifted off of your shoulders when you surrendered your heart to Jesus Christ. Remember the great peace that came over you when you gave your heart to Jesus Christ. Remember that wonderful experience that you had, just knowing that you know that you belong to God in the person of Jesus Christ. For once in your life, for once in our lives, we could spiritually exhale. For once we could say, it's finished. For once we could say, I have truly found what I've been looking for. I have truly experienced what I've been hearing about. I know Christ and I know him for myself. Come here, somebody. Nothing can compare to it because it's a work that takes place in our hearts. You can't fake it. You can't form it. You can't finalize it. But you can experience it if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Four things about faith. You must understand God's provision. You must understand God's payment. You must understand God's prevention. There's no boasting, no bragging. It's all about what God has done and nothing about what we have done. And then it's God's promise. He grants peace to all who would surrender their hearts to him. And I want you to know, if you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, today could be a great day for you. Today could be a day in your life like no other day you have ever experienced. If you would just put your faith in the grace of God that comes to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Father,